Imagine facing tremendous pressure and suffering in a culture that tempts you to compromise. Well, that was the reality for the believers in Corinth. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul offers words of comfort and encouragement. Today, we'll explore the first chapter and discover how afflictions allow us to experience God's comforting presence, share his comfort with others, and rely more deeply on him. Here's Stephen Davey.
Today we set sail once again for the metropolitan city of Corinth, and this is by way of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. The city of Corinth had been rebuilt by Julius Caesar back in 44 BC, and when the Apostle Paul first visited this city 100 years later, in about AD 49, Corinth had become this bustling, busy city with a population of right around 80,000 people. Now, because of Corinth's location near the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, it had been given the nickname the Crossroads of Greece. And by the time Paul planted this church here in Corinth, the city had become sort of the sports and entertainment city in that part of the empire. We know that the city's theater at one point, it held up to 18,000 people. They had a nearby concert hall that held 3,000 people. This was a city that was flourishing with commerce and tourism and sports and entertainment. You might expect that the drug and sex traffic in this city would be busy, and we know from history that indeed that was the case. Well, the Corinthians were rather proud of their elite status, their city. The Emperor Nero spent a great deal of time vacationing in the city of Corinth. This was really the city to see, and this was the place where you'd want to be seen if you were anybody important in the Roman Empire. Now, the second letter to the Corinthians is one of the most transparent, one of the most emotional letters written by the Apostle Paul. Frankly, this has been a difficult church for him to steer in the right direction. He's invested his life in them. He loved this church. He knew they faced tremendous pressure in this culture to compromise and to lose heart, to give in. That's the last thing Paul wanted them to do. Paul begins his letter here in a rather typical manner. In these first two verses, he affirms that he is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He also, you know, rather subtly reminds them that they don't belong to the city of Corinth, that they are, he writes, the church of God that is at Corinth. Now, with that, Paul uses a key word here. It's the word for comfort, from the Greek word parakaleo, and that means to call to one side or to exhort, even to cheer up. Jesus uses the same word to identify the Holy Spirit as our paraclete, our helper, our comforter, John chapter 14, verse 16. Paul uses the word for comfort 10 times here in these next few verses. It's as if Paul is answering their question, and ours, by the way, today, are there any benefits to going through times of affliction or pressure? Paul's going to answer that by giving us four benefits of affliction. First, affliction allows us to experience the comforting presence of God. That's what Paul writes here in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. You know, beloved, when you face affliction, pressure, trouble, you come to know God the Father, according to this resume that's provided here by Paul, that he's a Father of mercies. He's the God of all comfort. You find in his word truths that are especially meaningful during times of trouble. Your prayer life is made so much deeper in the valley of affliction. And don't miss this little word, all, here in verse 4. He comforts us in all our affliction, not just some of it, not even most of it, Paul says, but in all of it. That's another way of saying you've never been left alone by God. Now, keep in mind that God's comfort isn't always an escape route. Often the Spirit of God, our companion, is cheering us along. He's calling us to press on in the midst of suffering. Now, there's a second benefit of going through times of affliction. Here it is. It's being able to share God's comfort with other people. Again, Paul writes here in verse 4, God comforts us, here it is, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's another way of saying that our suffering is never wasted. Paul implies here that affliction is a hand that opens the door of ministry into the lives and hearts of others. And let me tell you, beloved, everybody around you is suffering from something today. The universal language of the human race is suffering, affliction. And when you experience God's comfort through some passage of Scripture, some insight, maybe it's a poem or a hymn or song lyric, God never intended you to keep all that to yourself. You're to pass it along to others. Now, here's the third benefit to suffering. We learn to rely on God instead of ourselves. Paul writes here in verses 8 and 9, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead." Now, we're not told exactly here what Paul suffered that made him think his life was going to end. The book of Acts told us about some life-threatening instances where Paul and his missionary team suffered, but evidently Acts didn't tell us all of those situations. Well, the point here is that Paul himself deepened his dependence on the Lord as a result of whatever it was he suffered. And let me tell you, if Paul could learn how to lean on the Lord a little bit more, well, we can learn too. This is a good reminder, by the way, beloved, that Christianity is not a cure for affliction. In fact, you might have been a Christian long enough now to realize that Jesus didn't solve all your problems. In fact, he gave you some new ones, but he also gave you himself. And as you walk with him through the valley of affliction, just remember, it's a valley. It's not a dead end. He's going to lead you to the other side. Now, here's the fourth benefit of affliction. We go through afflictions to encourage us to pray for one another. Paul writes it this way here in verse 11. "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." You know, that tells me that comfort has a way of coming around full circle. Someone is praying for you as you endure that season of affliction, and your heart and life are deepened by it, and you share what you've learned with others who in turn help comfort even more people. You know, I think one day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to meet people we prayed for. We're going to meet people who prayed for us. I recently read again of the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a young pastor in Germany during the terrible reign of Adolf Hitler. Bonhoeffer pastored and operated an underground seminary in Bavaria, Germany, and when that seminary was shut down, Bonhoeffer joined the resistance movement and because of it was later imprisoned. From his prison cell, he wrote letters which were later published as Letters and Papers from Prison. Well, included among them was a poem he had written to his fiancée, Maria von Wedemeyer. The poem encouraged her to accept affliction as coming from the hand of a loving God. Well, they never did get married because 3 months after sending Maria that poem, Bonhoeffer was put to death in prison. Well, 18 years later, another young woman was unable to get married because her fiancé was killed in an accident. Even though her own heart was broken, she wrote his parents, their names were Joe and Mary Lou Bailey. She wrote to comfort them. She included this poem written by Bonhoeffer. It did comfort them. In fact, Joe would write his own collection of poems, and in that collection, he included Bonhoeffer's poem as well. Well, many years later, Joe Bailey was told of a terminally ill woman in a Boston hospital who'd been given his book of poems as a gift. She had been greatly comforted by his poems, and especially the poem Bailey had included that had been written by Bonhoeffer. Just a few hours after reading that poem once again, she passed away. Her name was Maria. She had been the fiancée of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That comfort had literally come full circle. Beloved, this cycle of comfort isn't a coincidence. It happens to be a part of the plan of God. So wherever you are right now, make sure you're keeping that cycle of comfort going today. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International. Stephen called this lesson the cycle of comfort. We've seen today how God's comfort flows through our lives, enabling us to comfort others and grow in dependence on Him. To learn more about us, visit our website at wisdomonline.org. There you can access the complete library of Stephen's Bible teaching ministry. We post each day's broadcast, so if you ever miss a lesson, you can catch up on our daily Bible teaching right on the homepage. You can also navigate to previous broadcasts if you want to revisit past lessons. Stephen has been teaching the Bible for over 4 decades, and in that time he's preached hundreds of sermons. All these sermons are available on our website, organized by Book of the Bible. If there's a particular book you want to study, and if Stephen has preached through it, you can listen to or read each message. The website is a treasure trove of biblical teaching, offering a wealth of resources to help you deepen your understanding of the Scripture. All this content is available to you free of charge and accessible anytime. Whether you're looking to catch up on daily broadcasts, delve into Stephen's extensive teaching library, or study a specific book of the Bible, wisdomonline.org has everything you need. Visit today. Make plans to join us next time to continue this wisdom journey.